if we need an idea, a picture of God's intelligent design, all we need to do is look in the mirror, because his fingerprints are all over the human body. Here's some facts that I thought were interesting. So, laid end to end, an adult's blood vessels could circle Earth's equator 4 times. There's 100,000 miles of blood vessels in your body. That's crazy. The human DNA, let me get this right. If a human being's DNA was uncoiled, it would stretch 10 billion miles from Earth to Pluto and back. That's in your body. The human heart beats more than 3 billion times in an average lifespan. That's a lot. Here, this is a cool one. The average human produces 25,000 quarts of saliva in a lifetime. That's enough saliva to fill 2 swimming pools. So, gross. It's true. At least I read it on the internet, so it must be true, right? But each part of the human body is important, right? A human eye can distinguish between approximately 10 million different colors. Scientists estimate that our nose can recognize 1 trillion different smells. 1 trillion. And did you know that our pinky finger is half of our hand strength? Pinky. And for each step that we take, we are using 200 different muscles in our body. So each part of the human body is important. And as you look through 1 Corinthians 12, you realize that the Apostle Paul used the same analogy for us as Christians as the body of Christ. There's no such thing as an insignificant member of the body of Christ. Every single one of us is important. And it's not until we realize, even with our own bodies, when we're unhealthy, then we realize how important it is to be healthy. You know, I don't wake up every morning and say, God, thank you so much that I don't have a cold today. But when I have a cold, what do I do every morning that I wake up? God, take this cold away. This is terrible. I remember when I was in college, I would play some basketball, play some football for fun, and I jammed a couple fingers. At one time, I thought I had a broken finger. It wasn't broken, but I thought it was, because it hurt a lot. And you don't realize how much you use your hands until you jam your finger. And every little thing that I did, like, I noticed that my finger hurt. And it's not until we realize that part of our body is unhealthy, we realize how important it is and how often we take for granted a healthy body. Now, the church, the body of Christ, is just like the human body, because there's incredible unity and diversity. The human body operates as one unit, right, connected to the brain. But think of all the diversity in a human body. But the church is the same way, right? We are connected, we're unified through Christ. But if we look around the room, every single one of us is different. God has created us unique, and that's part of his design. So if you're a Christian, if you've turned away from your sin and you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation, then you, then I, we are part of this spiritual body. And if we're part of the spiritual body, then God, he has expectations for us. He has expectations of what we do as members of the body, to be who he's created us to be and do what he's created us to do. So if we're part of the body, but we're not fulfilling the specific role that God's designed for us, then the whole body is suffering, right? So here's our big idea for tonight. We will not experience the fullness of the church until we serve. The body is not fully functioning unless each member is serving in the capacity designed by God. Let me read that last part one more time. The body is not fully functioning unless each member is serving in the capacity designed by God. And that was pretty clear in the passage that we looked at. And let's read this. Follow along with me as I read. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. So Paul, in this part of the passage, he's hitting on the unity of the body of Christ. And the unity is coming through the Spirit. Look at verse 13. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That's a little bit confusing there, and we have to understand what Paul means by the word baptism. He's not talking about water baptism. We know that water baptism doesn't save us. It doesn't provide salvation. Water baptism is a sign of our faith in Christ. So that's not what he's talking about there. But what he's talking about is conversion, because when we turn away from our sin and place our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes and lives inside of us. It takes up residence in our heart. And we see that here in this passage, that we were all made to drink of one Spirit, and that happens one time at conversion. And we're unified by the Spirit. I mean, that's a cool picture, that as Christians, every one of us has the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And that is that foundation of unity that draws us together. And as we think about this metaphor of the body, Jesus is the head. Not the Pope, not our pastor, not a celebrity pastor, not our parents. Jesus is the head of the body, and we are the members. So nothing happens independent of Christ, right? If we're part of this body, then we are connected to the head. We're connected to Christ. So as we think of that analogy, I think it happens in two spheres. The first sphere is the big C, the capital C, church. All Christians everywhere. Anyone that's turned away from their sin and trusted in Christ is a member of the big C church. I like this passage here in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Notice that it doesn't say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved Highland Community Church. It doesn't say that, right? No, this is talking about the whole church, the universal church, everyone that believes in Christ. And this isn't just a specific congregation, but this is all Christians everywhere. But I think this metaphor of the body also applies to the little C church, what I'll call the local church, because we've been divided as Christians into different congregations, different groups of Christians all around the world. And that leads a little bit into, well, why do we have different denominations? Why do we have different churches? And I talked to some people that would say, you know, Sam, I don't like the fact that there's denominations. I'm not going to go to a local church. I'm not going to be involved in this church because, you know, I'm part of the big church. I'm part of God's big church. I'm part of the family. So it's not important for me to be in a local church. And, you know, Christians, they can't agree on anything anyway, so why should I go to a church? And that person, there's some truth in that, because throughout history, Christians have had a hard time getting along. And to me, that's tragic, and that breaks my heart, because as the body of Christ, right, we are one body, we're unified by one Spirit. And one of the things that I love about young adults, what happens here on Monday nights, is I look around the room and I see people coming from so many different churches in our area. And that's awesome, because that's a picture of the unity of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what church we're from, it doesn't matter what our background is, that if we believe in Jesus, we can have fellowship together. And that's awesome, and I think that's a great picture of the body. But denominations, church separations, they're natural, right? Because as people, we divide ourselves among people that we have like interests with, right, by geography or by similarities. And in churches, we will congregate with people that maybe we believe similar things with. And that is normal. That happens. But as we relate to other Christians who might believe something different than us, I think this phrase is important, and this is the blanks on the back of your page. It says, in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, charity; and in all things, Jesus Christ. I didn't come up with this. Frankly, I don't even know who came up with this. I've heard about a lot, I don't know, 50 different pastors use this. But in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, charity; and in all things, Jesus Christ. And as we relate to the rest of the body of Christ, this is so important, that we hold to the essentials with truth. What do you think some of these essentials might be that we want to hold to that would unify us as as a collective body of Christ? What are some of these essentials? Saved by grace. That's a huge one. The gospel. Yep. What else? The Trinity? Maybe. Levi said baptism. Spiritual baptism. Yep. When we receive the Spirit at conversion, that would be a big one. How about this? Is this the Word of God? Is that an essential? Yes, that's an essential. So it's important for us to be unified as believers over the things that really matter. Salvation, the Word of God, the reality of eternity. Those are important things. But then as we relate in the non-essentials, we need to be gracious. We need to be charitable. What might some of those non-essentials be? Yes, that's a huge one, right? Oh, I'm premillennial. I'm postmillennial. I'm amillennial. I thought I was a millennial, right? Well, I mean, what does that even mean? That is not something that we want to be divisive over, because there's Christians on both sides of that debate. And if some of you have, like, what in the world does that mean? Don't worry about it. It's really not a big deal. So that's a big one. Any others that you could think of? Maybe a non-essential? The age of the earth, yeah? Tradition, church liturgy. Do we sing hymns? Do we sing contemporary worship songs? How long is the sermon? How often do we take communion? Those are non-essentials. And it's so important for us to be charitable as we relate to other Christians in the non-essentials. There's no space for spiritual pride in the body of Christ. As a pastor at Highland here, Wausau, I should never say, oh, man, look at that church down in Stevens Point. They have no idea what's going on. Like that, they need a lesson from us. No, that's not how it works. Because as the body of Christ, if we are attacking another church as the body of Christ, that's an autoimmune disease, right? And that a body with an autoimmune disease is not functioning fully, right? So we never want to attack another Christian. We never want to speak ill of another church, because they're also the body of Christ. So it's important for us to encourage one another and build one another up, especially even the people that we might disagree in the non-essentials with. We want to stand firm on the essentials. We want to be charitable in the non-essentials. And then in all things, we want to remember the most important thing, and that's Jesus Christ. So, and that leads into a little bit what happens here on Monday nights. Young adults, we're part of a church. Now we're part of Highland, but this is not a church. Why not? We have fellowship. We have leaders. We sing sometimes. There's a message. Couldn't this be a church? It sort of sounds like one a little bit. But I was talking to Andrew about this today, and I'm going to give him credit for this analogy. Because I sometimes steal analogies from Andrew. So I'll give him credit for this one, because I thought it was pretty good. So have you guys ever eaten an apple with an apple slicer? You know, when you push down and it makes all those even slices? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, oh, it's Monday, I need some coffee. So if you take a bite of that of a slice, is it an apple? Yeah. Does it taste like an apple? Does it have the texture of an apple? Yeah. But one slice isn't the whole apple, right? So if you come to Young Adults on Monday night, you're getting a slice of the apple. You're getting a slice. It's going to look like church. It's going to taste like church. It's going to kind of be a little bit like church, but it's not all of church. So I'd encourage each one of you, each one of us, to be involved somewhere in a church on Sunday mornings. If you can, make it a priority to be involved in fellowship in a church on Sunday morning, because you're going to get a broader range of relationships, a broader range of fellowship. You're going to hear God's word preached. You'll have an opportunity to worship and take communion. There's just so many good things that come with being involved in a church on Sunday morning. The author of Hebrews wrote this. He said, "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near." So it's so important for us to be involved in a good church. And there's so many good churches in Wausau. Highland's a good one, and there's so many others. So I'm not pushing one church, but I would encourage you to be involved in a good church. And to those college students that might be back on break, when you're away at college, it is so important to be involved in a good church. Campus Crusade is not church. It's a great thing, but it's not church. You're not getting the fellowship that you need from an on-campus ministry like that. So go to church on Sunday mornings, if I can say that. I don't know if that was allowed or not, but I went for it anyway. Cool. So through Christ, there's profound unity within the church. And this unity, it's not perfect, because we're not perfect, and we make up the body of Christ. But this unity, it's a good thing, and we have the same head. We're connected to Christ. But we can't confuse that unity with uniformity. Because in the midst of unity, there's great diversity. There's great uniqueness. I mean, look around the room. Each one of us is different. Take Andrew and I, for example. Now, one of us, someone called you Sam tonight, right?
Laura.
Sorry, Laura, I didn't mean to bring that up, but. Compare Andrew and I for a second. You know, one of us is good at sports, the other one's good at racquetball, so. Now, on the other hand, Andrew would win in a speed talking competition any day, so. And then one of us is actually good at board games, and the other one pretends to be good at board games and then loses. So, and that's me. So I'm warning you, don't play board games with Andrew, because it just doesn't go very well. So Andrew, lying at church is not a good thing. Tanner said that he has yet to lose to Andrew in a board game. So there's the plug that if you want a challenge, take on Andrew in Settlers of Catan. Or I don't know, whatever, anything. Tanner says anything. But seriously, getting the train back on the rails. There's so much diversity within the body of Christ. Each one of us is different, and each one of us has a different gift. And we see that unity coming from the Trinity itself. Listen to this passage just a couple verses earlier in 1 Corinthians. Now there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there's a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So if we look at verse 4, it says, there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. There's a variety of service, but the same Lord. That's Jesus Christ. And there's a variety of activities, but the same God. That's the Father. So our service in the church, the gifts that we have, is a reflection of the Trinity. Because within the Trinity, there's incredible diversity. But there's also incredible unity, right? Because each member of the Trinity has a different role, a different task, a different purpose, but they're equal in value. Each person is equal in their value. And that's kind of how it is with us. Each one of us is equal in our value. We've been created in the image of God, and God's given us a gift. The field is level, right? Not one of us is greater than the other. But there's diversity in that each one of us has a different a gift in a different way to serve within the church. And God has provided us gifts, what we call spiritual gifts. So when the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, when we decide to follow Christ, the Bible tells us that we receive a gift, a spiritual gift to serve the church. And this isn't like going to Walmart and picking out like, okay, I want that gift and that gift and that gift. No, that's not how it works. God, he's the one that chooses these gifts and gives them to us. And these gifts, they're not for our benefit. They're for the church. Look at verse 7. It says, and each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, not for ourselves, but for the common good of one another. And we see that in the second half of our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Follow along with me as I read. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. And if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Paul's analogy here is a little bit absurd. I mean, should the foot say, I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of the body? I mean, imagine if our foot was on our hand. Like, that would be ridiculous, and we couldn't get anything done, right? That's actually a really weird picture, so don't think about that. But it's similar in the church, right? Sometimes we desire what we call the highest gifts. Maybe what we think of is, oh, this is the best thing. I wanna be the guy that plays guitar and sings. And we say, well, if I can't sing like Brad, who sang last week, then, you know, the church, it doesn't need me. Or, you know, I can't talk as fast as Andrew, so I'm not gonna teach at this church. Or I don't like junior hires, which is probably normal. So I'm gonna stay away from student ministry, right? And if you serve in student ministry and like junior hires, you're a saint. So thank you for doing that. No, we need each other. Each one of us has a unique gift. And this diversity is God's design. I mean, imagine if each one of us were worship leaders. Sunday morning would be a mess. It'd be a mess. Too much talking and singing and not enough people following along and singing, right? Imagine if all of us were gifted to serve in the nursery. There wouldn't be anybody to listen to a sermon on a Sunday morning, right? And then there wouldn't be anyone to work with junior hires, and that'd be a problem because they probably need extra leaders. So why am I picking on junior hires tonight? I do. Junior high was a dark time in my life. That's probably why. It probably was for you too. So we want to embrace the diversity that God has given us within the church. And these gifts, they're God-selected. Look at verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body. So we don't get to pick what gift we have. God has selected those for us, and the benefit is for the church. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 4. He said, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So God's given us a gift, and the point is to use it to serve one another. So did you know before tonight that you have a spiritual gift? God has given you a gift to serve the church. So what's your gift? Now I wish I could answer that for you. Actually, I don't wish I could answer that for you. You're going to have to answer that for yourself. And I've taken some spiritual gifts inventories in the past. And maybe you've heard of that. If you haven't, it's basically like a glorified personality test. And it kind of finds out like things that you're passionate about, things that you like to do, and it says, oh, you'd fit in this category. This is kind of where you like to serve. I don't have anything against those tests at all. I think they're totally fine. But it's basically just a personality test. And I think if you're going to want to find out, if you want to know what your spiritual gift is, there's some things you should probably do before you take an inventory. The first thing you need to do is pray. Say, God, what is my gift, and how have you gifted me to serve the church? So if you don't know what your gift is, the first thing to do is ask God. And then the second thing you should do is open the Bible. Read what the Bible has to say about spiritual gifts. Read through and meditate on a passage like this, or a passage like 1 Peter 4, or Romans chapter 12, other passages that talk a little bit about spiritual gifts, and find out what the Bible says about these spiritual gifts. And another thing you could do is approach a mentor or a friend. Talk to your small group leader, someone that knows you really well, and say, how do you think I could serve the church? Susan, what's my gift? How can I serve? How do you see me serving the church? Yeah. Susan, that was a rhetorical question. I do. So I knew better than that. But I wasn't going to call on Jarek because that would have been more dangerous. So ask a friend, ask a mentor, ask someone that knows you really well, maybe your parents, and say, well, how do you think I'm gifted to serve the church? How do you see me fitting in to this body? And then another question would be, what are you passionate about? What do you like to do? A lot of times, the ways that God's gifted us are the things that we're best at, and that could be the things that we're most passionate about. So just look and see what you love to do. That could be the way that God's gifted you. And then the fifth and final thing I'd ask is, where's the need? When you look at your local body, your church, where's the biggest need? Where can you jump in and serve? Because what we don't want to do is just sit on our hands and pray for 3 years and say, God, what's my gift? God, what's my gift? And have that prevent us from serving. If you get down to question five and you're like, well, I'm not really sure what I want to do, then jump in. Do something. Dive into the nursery. Start changing diapers, you know? And if you don't like it, then go do something else and work with the junior hires, right? And if you survive both of those, then you could do anything. So Because serving in the body, right, serving in the church is not something that God paints as optional. Because with this picture of the body, if one member, if one person isn't serving, then the body isn't functioning to complete health. The body, we need one another. We each need to be serving. I mean, if one person isn't serving, it's like that nagging cold that just won't go away. You know, it's like when I jammed my finger in college and I noticed every time that I opened the door or tried to write that I had a jammed finger. You know, it's like if you have a chandelier in your kitchen with 6 light bulbs, you know, if one is burned out, is the light still going to work? Yeah. Is it a little dimmer? Yeah. But it's not functioning fully, right? It's not functioning the way it was designed. And for the body, the church body, to be functioning the way that God has designed it to function, then each one of us need to be serving. And there's so many ways to serve. The list could go on and on. So the question is, where do we start? And it could start here on Monday nights. There's great ways to even serve within young adults. We have a couple people that come and help with hospitality and help get some of the food and the coffee ready. Marcia is here every week making the coffee drinks for us. And one of the ladies who helps get the food ready was gone last week. And that meant, I can't believe I'm telling the story, that I was the one that got the coffee ready. Did anyone have decaf coffee last week? Did anybody have decaf coffee last week? Okay, Andrew was maybe the only one. Well, I was the one that got the coffee ready. Andrew came into the office on Tuesday morning and said, "Sam, are you sure that was decaf?" Andrew, what time? So you had 2 big cupfuls of decaf coffee and what decaf? And what time were you up until?
5 a.m.
Yeah.
He's holding both labels, regular and decaf, and I walk over and he looks confused.
So I guess I was 60% sure, and I gambled on Andrew's sleep, okay, so.
You just wanted to hear him talk
fast. I guess, I don't know. It was something. So it's a good thing that Andrew apparently was the only one that made that mistake made the mistake to trust me last week and have the decaf coffee. But I say that because clearly you don't want me making the coffee, right? That's not my gift, but some of you maybe are gifted at coming and helping early and helping make the food and plate the food and get the coffee ready and making sure that you know how to label the coffee thing. I mean, that's not that hard, but apparently it's too hard for me. So maybe that's your gift and you could serve here on Monday nights. And as I share some ways to serve, a lot of this is going to be contextualized for our church here at Highland. So if you don't go to church here, like I said, that's totally fine. But you might just need to do a little bit of contextualization on what would this look like in my culture, what would this look like in your culture at your church. So there's some great ways even here to serve behind the scenes. We've got a building, we've got grounds from lawn mowing to maintenance to gardening. Maybe you're gifted in one of those areas. You could serve in that area. We have a whole team that prepares for funerals. When someone passes away, it happens usually pretty instantly, and we have a team that helps work with the family and prepare the food and get ready for those type of things. We have a team that writes cards of encouragement to people that are going through difficult times. Maybe someone passed away, maybe they're ill, and they're called the Grapevine Ministry, right? Yeah. And I've gotten cards from them, and that's all. Yeah, it's really cool. It's always encouragement. I love getting mail, right? We always get email, but when you get a real card, it's really cool. So I appreciate the encouragement from that ministry. We even have administrative help during the week. There's a guy that was here today, and he comes every single Monday to work on the bulletins. From our bulletins on Sunday, we recycle the cover. So he goes through all of the recycled bulletins and sorts them and gets them ready for the next week. Nobody ever sees him, but he comes and he serves, and he does that faithfully every single week. So there's different ways to serve behind the scenes. Or maybe God's given you the gift of music and you could serve in worship ministry at your church. Or maybe God has given you the gift of working with junior hires or high schoolers and you could serve in G180 or a student ministry at your church. Or maybe you're a really friendly person, you could work as a greeter, as an usher, and do sort of that welcoming ministry. Or you could work with our kids ministry, our children's ministry. Kirsten and Andrew both work with the children's ministry here at Highland. Kirsten does a lot here at the Wausau campus. Andrew does a lot at our Weston campus. And that's a huge need, a huge area of need. We have this great thing in the summer called Vacation Bible School. It's for 1 week from 9 to 12 in the morning. And you could come just for that week, especially if you have a flexible work schedule and help work with the kids. But there's great need within the children's ministry. Andrew, how many weeks are there in the summer in Weston for a children's church? It's like 12 weeks. How many children's church teachers do you have booked right now of those 12?
Well, let's see, I have two this week filled.
Yeah, there's 16 weeks.
Oh, 16, yeah, I have two this week filled with me.
So children's church at Highland, somebody volunteers to teach the kids just during the sermon time, and at our Weston campus, of the 16 slots, there are zero filled. Zero. So there's a huge need just in our children's ministry. And I probably can't do this, but I'm going to do this anyway. So if God is laying on your heart tonight just to maybe serve in the children's ministry, and you think you could help for 1 week in Weston, I'm not asking you to sign up for the whole summer, not asking you to sign up for the whole fall, but if you think that you could serve just 1 week and help teach children's church for Weston, I just want you to slip your hand in the air, and Andrew's going to come find you after. So if you think you could do 1 week at our Weston campus this summer, we've got a couple hands. Okay, if you put your hand in the air, make sure you find Andrew afterwards. Thank you for doing that. So that's a great way to serve, serving in our children's ministry here at Highland. And there's so many that I didn't mention, and some of you are probably serving in ways here, and if you are serving at your church, thank you. Thank you for doing that. If you're serving here, thanks for doing that. But our service, it extends even beyond the church. It extends into the community because those gifts, as our passage says, are used for the common good. Right, they're used for everyone, and it's so important for us to be involved in some way in our community, because if we just are this little Christian bubble that never gets out, then how is anybody going to hear about Jesus? And being able to serve our community is a really, really good thing. And that could start with our service project tomorrow. We're going to St. Paul's United Church of Christ downtown. Information's on our Facebook page. If you want to serve people in our community by giving them a free meal, all you need to do is come help. And plate some food, say hello to people. That's happening tomorrow at 3:30. But there's so many other things that you could do just to love people in the community. Andrew's involved in Big Brothers and Big Sisters. How many kids are on the waiting list right now in that ministry?
I think they have like almost 30 kids on the waiting list.
So 30 kids that want a Big Brother or Big Sister, and there just aren't. And I mean, Andrew's doing that. If you want to hear more about that commitment, you could talk to him. You could partner with Fellowship of Christian Athletes and help run a high school huddle for athletes. That could be once a week just for the school year. We have this great ministry called Hope Life Center right down the hill that works with moms and dads dealing with unplanned pregnancies. That'd be a great place to volunteer, get involved in there. I could list a lot of different ways to be involved in the community. But it's important for us, it's helpful for us to use our gifts both in the church and then as leverage for the gospel as we go out in the community. But there's always going to be obstacles to us serving, and I want to hit on three things that I think can get in the way from us serving, and I'll hit on this briefly here. The first one is time. If I ask somebody, oh man, why aren't you serving in the church right now? Well, the one answer, top answer, is probably, you know, Sam, I'm just really busy. Life's getting in the way. I'm really busy. We talked about this last week. If you don't have kids, you are not busy. Okay? And if you are not married, you really aren't busy. So if you fit in either one of those categories, the problem is probably not busyness. The problem is probably priorities. And we look at where we spend some of that leisure time. How much time are we on social media? How much time are we doing our hobbies? How much time are we playing Fortnite? I've never played a game of Fortnite. Am I missing anything? Okay, after I made that statement, no one's going to admit it anyway. So, but the problem isn't time. The problem is priorities. And it's so important for us possibly to bump serving in the church up a couple notches on our priority list because it's so important for us to be involved in the church. Another thing would be insecurity. I don't know how I'm gifted. Or the church really doesn't need me to serve. just not knowing what to do. That could be part of insecurity. And if that's the case, then ask the Lord to give you strength and be reminded that these are spiritual gifts. These are gifts enabled by the Holy Spirit that indwells each one of us. So if God has given you the gift, then he is going to enable you to use that for his glory. It might come with some anxiety. It might be stretching. I had a friend, gifted preacher, gifted teacher, and every time before he preached, he'd be so anxious that he would go to the bathroom and he would lose his lunch, right? Just come right out. And because he was so anxious to preach, but he still trusted the Lord, he relied on the Spirit, and God used him in incredible ways. Just because God's given us a gift doesn't mean that we're not going to feel stretched, doesn't mean that we're going to feel uncomfortable. Sometimes that's a good thing, but it means that as we serve, we have to rely on the Lord. And the third one would be uncertainty. Where do I serve? Where do I fit? What would it look like for me to serve? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. If that's the case, just do something. Find somewhere, get plugged in, and find a way to serve in your church. So I have a really practical tool for application tonight. On your tables, you'll see these connection cards. And we use those here at our church just to express interest in being involved in a ministry. And what I'd love you to do tonight is grab one, and I want everybody to fill it out. Now, I say that with a caveat. If you don't go to church here, then I think it'd still be great for you to fill it out and hang on to it, put it in your Bible as a reminder to be involved in your church. But if you do go to church here at Highland and you're not yet serving in a ministry, tonight would be a great night to kind of take that first step and say, hey, I'm interested in greeting, or I'm interested in worship, or I'm interested in men's ministry or women's ministry or kids' ministry, and to fill it out and then place it in a box. I've got a couple boxes in the corner. There's one back there. There's one on the coffee bar. And if you're not serving somewhere at Highland, this would be a great thing to do. But even before you fill out the back side of that, I just want to take 1 minute, and I just want us to pray to God. Just me and God, just you and God, and ask a four-word prayer. How can I serve? Before we jot anything down, let's seek the Lord. Let's ask him how we can serve him. And then I'll close our time in prayer. And you can take that card with you to small groups. You'll have a second to fill that out in our fourth question to small groups tonight. And if you're comfortable leaving that with us, you can put that in the box on your way out the door. Father, we ask that you'll reveal to each one of us how we can serve. Both our churches that we're involved in, how we can serve the capital C church, Universal Church, and even how we can serve in our communities. We know that you've given us a gift to serve you and that you've made each one of us different. Help us be content with the gifts that you've given us, and help each one of us find a way to serve in the churches that you've placed us in, and just to see the joy that it is to serve you. So thanks for our time together in Jesus' name.